This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Houston Kress and Davey Hudson, Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate
football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio.
You look like a silver unicorn.
Yeah, we'll have to readjust this at the break or something.
The hat needs to go on and then the headphones.
Did he have anything done by the time you went out there to help him?
Not a damn
thing. Okay, mister. Get here early. I've been sitting at the gate for 10 minutes.
Who walked in first? I was in the building before you were, period.
I was three steps behind you.
I win. It's a race, buddy. You could have parked and hopped the fence if you were a real man. You don't even have to hop it.
You got me there. I should have drove like this, actually.
You really should have.
Let me just help him real quick.
What? What are you going to do? He's beyond help. Oh, yeah, press that down. I tried to create a little. I was hoping that the horn would. It's foil. You can peel it up a little bit to give him some room. Hickman. There you go. Oh, man. New profile pic. It's a final now.
Hickman serving his Wednesday SEC Survivor punishment on a Thursday.
Because he's a coward.
He sat here the whole show and just didn't even bring it up.
Nope.
Just staring at it.
I was waiting on you guys to take some initiative, and I'm a newcomer to this. I didn't know when I was going to do it.
Interesting.
Well, you got like the easiest punishment in the book, so congratulations. Nice, easy. This is the Tennessee Tech of SEC Survivor punishments. Wearing tinfoil for the whole show.
Yeah, congrats, bud.
Well, Kress is drawing Vandy this week. My prediction was off by 1 week. It's Vandy now.
All right, we'll see.
I wouldn't mess with the SEC Survivor gods. I'm just saying.
He's the one who did it.
I'm talking
he
to him.
You messed with it last week twice.
I'm talking to him.
You messed twice. You predicted my helmet, which is, that's just a faux pas. You just don't do that.
Yeah.
And then you let someone else draw for you.
That was a trusted individual.
And?
Didn't work out for
him. Yeah, I didn't think so.
He got you the singular worst helmet in the whole bucket.
Yeah, hell, Vandy would have won last week. I wouldn't have even lost, you
that's
idiot.
True. That's a good point.
I mean, they're not beating Stanford. But
I don't know.
Stanford beat USC, bro.
That's a good point. They were just bad in week one, right?
As Hickman moves as slow as he possibly can so as not to make noise. Good for you, Hickman. Good job. How's Davey Hudson this morning?
Certainly. Good.
That was probably your best answer ever.
I have nothing to complain about yet.
I was going to say.
Really?
It's early. It's early.
What a day.
All right, help me out here.
Yeah? You got questions?
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Uh-huh.
That one in particular. Joe Milton's status for Saturday up in the air, but he did or did not practice yesterday?
I already did practice.
That's what I heard.
Is Josh Heupel the most secretive coach in college football? Hey, coach.
So far.
Who's going to start at quarterback?
Actually, I would say no.
Coach, who's going to start quarterback if they're all healthy? Well,
we don't want Tennessee Tech to have the upper hand.
Coach, what about these players? Ah, it's only midweek. I'll have to tell you at the end of the week. Coach, you don't meet with the media again the rest of the week. Yep, got it.
See
gotcha.
You. Out of here. Time's up.
Yep.
Maybe he's just smart.
I mean, he just tells you nothing. There was that one reporter that used to that covered him at UCF. It was one guy that like really complained about that. Like, Heupel will give you nothing. Like, it's... And he's boring. That was his two reasons why he didn't like Josh Heupel.
I haven't found him to be overly...
Now, he's talking about it from a journalist standpoint. Obviously, yeah, if he wins big here, no one's going to care.
Right, I don't think he's boring. I also don't think, at least at this point, I mean, we see people change here all the time for good and bad. He's not a character, right?
Mostly bad.
Well, recently.
What are you doing?
I don't have anything to complain about. I mean, I'm in a good mood. And then all of a sudden.
I said, yet.
I mean, you had
36
seconds.
You had a former offensive lineman
that just rose up right through the coaching ranks of his own program, stabbed the head coach in the back, and won a national championship. He changed for the good, Davey.
And then bad again.
Bad again.
And then back to bad. Back to bad. He tried the same thing he did when he was a young man, and it didn't work out for him.
Nope.
He's getting old. He lost a step. Not as witty as he once was. These kids, they got the internet these days. They can keep up with everything.
That's true.
Everything's at the...
he could pull a fast one. Not so fast.
Not so fast. Was that a slow joke? Is that... You should apologize to the battle captain.
At least it wasn't a fat joke.
What are you doing?
I think you're giving David too much credit. I don't think it was even a slow joke.
Well, you certainly can't undercredit him.
That's a good point. Heupel was asked on Vol calls if the team had bounced back from the loss. He said, quote,
"Oh yeah, man, you know,
it's been awesome."
Okay. What is with the maniacal laughter? Why is that such a bad thing to say? Let him finish the damn quote. Before you giggle it up over there. Man, you've been listening to too much Drive and listening to all of Jamie's calls, haven't you? I love Jamie. He's ready to fire him.
Already?
He's basically saying this is the same stuff we saw in year one with Pruitt, Dooley, Butch. I mean, we are eight quarters into this.
I would
bad
like
boy.
To reserve the right to call something disappointing and bad without immediately jumping to firing the coach.
I would
like to reserve that right for a minute. Just... Maybe for a year.
I wasn't making fun of anyone. I just thought it was funny that he's like, it's been awesome.
It's a weird word to use, Houston.
It's weird when you stop it right there and don't give it the context it deserves.
Well, there was a period there. It's been awesome. I said it after the ball game.
That could be a comma. That is not necessarily what Heupel thought in his mind. That is journalistic choice.
Okay. It's been awesome.
It's been awesome, you know. It's been great.
I said it after the ball game. We're going to find out a lot about our football team, what their makeup is by the way they approach coming into the building.
If those fighters in here.
Sorry. If he doesn't work out how they approach walking upstairs and coming into the building, that's going to be the one.
Okay, that was – he was just saying
– Has he given his technique on shower etiquette yet?
I actually thought – I mean, it was a staph infection. I don't know if that's the best thing to make fun of. It can kill somebody. But, okay, worst one.
So can drinking too much and having a bad liver, and that's where I'm at. Because of Tennessee football.
I feel like you might be – anyway, never mind. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, because you don't drink on days Tennessee doesn't lose.
He only drinks on days that end in Y. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, which one was worse? I mean, Kiffin did stuff that, like, the national media hated, but we loved it. So I think he's probably good. Like, seeing Rocky Top in the Swamp after we beat Florida, no one cared. I thought that was funny. Dooley with the staph infection. Butch with the sleep coaches. Or...
sleep's important. I actually think that's more of a good idea.
Shut up.
Butch was the worst with the cliches.
That's what I thought. Pruitt wasn't the dumbest. He wasn't smart enough for cliches, was he?
I mean, Butch was pretty dumb, but Pruitt was even dumber.
Butch was dumb, but at least he like tried to find something to sound intelligent. Yeah. Pruitt was just like, is they fighters in here? Well, we're going to get better and move forward. And he's just looking around like, move forward. That'll speak to the fan base. They'll trust me after I say that. Heupel's just saying, you know, we have effort.
The challenge for all of us players and coaches.
Did he take away the elevator? Can they not use the elevator? Did he say that? Or is he just...
I don't know.
They now go on the right side up and right side down, like a car lane? Which is amazing that more people don't understand that, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Together as a football program is to take ownership in the things that we can correct.
What? Okay.
I'm just scarred by the own it. That's a perfectly fine thing to say.
Golly, I was just about to say.
Normally,
I like
a coach taking ownership of the negative, you know, and you know, saying it's all on us to create the change. I'm just scarred from a previous relationship.
And that's what I'm saying. You cannot bring that baggage into this relationship. You cannot make Josh Heupel pay for idiotic Butch and something he did and said 7 years ago. You can't do that. That's not fair to Heupel.
We've had a great week of practice. There's been great focus on the things that we know we have to get better at. Part of that is the process. Part of that is the last 48 hours to kick off.
He said the process. That's like Nick Saban's thing. Did that bother you? No, I didn't think so. Does that also make you warm and fuzzy? No, probably not. See?
They've been great through Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday have to be right for us to go play our best brand of football on Saturday.
I mean, you probably don't want to play your best brand on Saturday.
Not this Saturday.
Next Saturday would be ideal. Ideal. It's been awesome, Hickman. Awesome. I think that is important, though, how your team responds to, especially a loss like that. You had them. You made a bunch of dumb mistakes. I mean... I know it's looking back on it, it's not good at all, but the way that Pruitt's team bounced back in 2019 after that horrible start. Now, granted, they did just save the mail it in for last year.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as he's telling the truth and they haven't, you know, been sulking around and feeling sorry for themselves all week. And that's why I liked his approach when what he said Monday to the quarterback club. He's like, we made a bunch of mistakes. It was self-inflicted wounds. I told them if we want to stop losing, we have to fix that. Those things have to change if you're tired of losing. Like, you're taking ownership as a coach, but you're also letting the team know, hey, we can all do a little bit better, and then we win games like this. So, and again, as stupid as it sounds, I think all the dodgeball and the team building and the snow cones and the bowling and all that, if you've got a team that likes each other, that knows each other, instead of, you know, film room practice, they disperse, right? And they know their coaches and they trust their coaches. I think it's a good thing. I do agree awesome was a weird word for it. You know, but a lot of teams have lost one game and won the Natty before, so season's not over.
I agree with you with everything you're saying. I love you.
You're just trying to – you're doing too much.
Bobby in St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, Bobby.
But Dad.
He was pretty positive after the game, I guess. He said,
well, they screened the calls, or Bobby is fake, and they just planted it.
Coach, first of all, I would like to say thanks for breathing some life back into Tennessee football.
Do we say that to every coach? Does somebody say that to every coach?
I mean, any new coach, you're sick of the old guy. That's why you fired him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, if you fire a coach because he's losing too much, you feel dead.
Right.
And the new guy
does bring life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even, for some. Others, it's just another day in death.
Even though the game Saturday didn't turn out the way we would like, it was a very, very compelling game. Factually, that is correct.
It was compelling.
And I don't remember the last time I was, really excited about a game the whole way through.
Fair.
That South Carolina game last year. Maybe not excited.
I just feel bad for Bobby because
first game, Dave. Game one of the season.
Like he's.
Oh, I remember. You got on to me because I only predicted Tennessee to win by three.
It's kind of it's just kind of sad that that's where we are. That Bobby's
a little vindictive
happy,
today, aren't you?
That Bobby's happy that he just had right. one game that was actually exciting all the way through and kind of like close at the end.
Well, since Davey's mad at me, to give him credit, we did get blasted by most teams last year. We didn't lose a close game.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with,
yeah.
with Bobby.
No, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Heupel said, well, I appreciate that. Nobody inside our building was satisfied with the outcome of the game. Not satisfied with the controllables within the game that could have been different. Mm. I, as the head coach, and I think our coaching staff, pointed out to our players, too, that our players recognized it, that they did play extremely hard. And the number one thing you've got to do as a team is compete extremely hard and play extremely hard, harder than your opponent, to give yourself a chance to win. Our guys did that.
All right.
Obviously, we got to take better care of the football. We've got to be better situationally on defense. Can't let guys escape out of the pocket. There are huge plays in the pass game that are there. We've got to be better inside the 15-yard line.
Understatement.
Two opportunities where we get a total of 3 points out of it and end up having to kick a long field goal in the one that we do. So a lot of things that we can improve upon. Guys have been great this week. And as we continue to build this, we go on this journey this year, and as we continue to build our program.
For the next 6 or 7 years.
If you're going to start with something, effort and strain and playing for your brother next to you is really important.
Was strain? So was that a Butch word,
yes.
Strain?
That was a somebody word.
Strain.
So I was happy about that from the other afternoon. Strain.
Well, we have a 3-6-11 +8-4 mentality. Can you explain that? Oh, hang on. Where's my note card? Who they got this week? What do you keep looking at your cup for?
I think there's a bug in my coffee. It's annoying.
My plan is working.
What?
They got a Power 5 opponent. It's. I'll double check.
Yeah, I probably just should have looked that up. It's all good.
It's like some Midwest school.
All right. Anything else from Vile Kyle?
Oh, there's a lot more.
Washington. They're at Washington, Dave.
Oh.
Who is?
That's Arkansas
State. Arkansas State.
That's
at
not Midwest.
No, that is West. That is way, way Northwest.
Washington hasn't won a game yet.
Nope, 0-2. They are an 81.3% chance to win. Holy. Oh, gosh. I saw the team rankings and saw 36.7. I thought they were a 37-point favorite, mm-hmm. which doesn't make sense because they would never do a 0.7. Mm-hmm. Washington is a 16.5-point favorite.
Okay.
You take Bush to cover here? I think I might.
He did against Memphis.
I think I might.
He covered. He lost.
I thought it was a push.
Apparently, was it? Apparently Pruitt was a big strain guy also.
Maybe that's who it was.
It was a strain to watch his teams play.
I don't think, but maybe Butch wasn't strain. Maybe it was just Pruitt.
He was 63 effort, eye discipline, individuals.
Techniques over tactics.
That's a good one.
That is classic for we're not going to outsmart anybody. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, I don't
we're going to do what they do better.
I don't even know what that means, techniques over tactics.
I think it means if you call the simplest plays but execute them, you don't have to have crazy plays if your execution's good on the simple stuff. But maybe I'm giving Butch way too much credit.
Yeah, I
that might be him using my brain to his advantage. Nope, he's not smart enough to do that either.
Oh, man.
What? Did you find something not worth reading?
I don't know. He was asked about developing depth.
Yeah.
And developing it more this week against Tennessee Tech. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Kind of. It kind of sets him up for allowing him to talk about some of the other, you know, the guys I haven't got to play.
Right.
He said, I would assume we are the thinnest team in the country just based on pure scholarship numbers, right?
If it's factually accurate, I don't have a problem with it.
We're at, I think, 71 guys right now.
Oh. Okay, at least he gave a number to back that up. In D1, does any other team have fewer than 71 D1 guys?
Again, I'm not, I don't even really care. I'm not even really blaming Heupel.
Well, some people use it as an excuse, but I feel like a guy like Heupel, I'm not saying he's, you know, an Einstein, but
it's just kind of picking up, you know, picking at a former wound, you know? It's another one.
I don't disagree with that, but you think about two-thirds of your two deep. I mean, 14 players, that's a significant amount to not have, you know.
I agree.
An extra backup.
That's what I've been preaching on.
Like, where do we have depth? I feel like we're pretty deep at receiver. Running back, not so much now, but when you've got the three all healthy, it's not terrible. Offensive line, no. Linebacker, no. D-line, they rotate. They got some depth. They're just not very good. Secondary, maybe. Maybe in the secondary?
Secondary.
Yeah.
Probably the deepest position.
Secondary and receiver. Fast people. Got a lot of fast people.
Long term, we've got to continue to recruit here, he said. Adding the right pieces. You know.
Well, we can come back to it later, but there's a proposal getting mentioned this week about the 25 number for college football recruiting and the transfer portal that we need to get into. It might help Tennessee get back to that 85 number a little quicker.
He was asked about the running back injuries. He said, no certainty there at that position. And that's not me being coy either.
Oh, he even recognizes that he's being coy?
Right.
And then says, that's not me being coy, it's which like, is like, hey, here, trust me on this, here. Ooh. He doesn't do it in a way that sounds condescending.
He did finish the little blurb with, they're not completely cleared at this point for kickoff. So he did give you a little info there. So neither Tyon Evans and Jabari Small could play a game today, basically. But, you know, we don't play today. We play Saturday. So we'll see how it goes.
So Jalen Wright to start. Do we go immediately to the walk-on for the second string snaps, or do we see Whitehead or Beckwith?
Mm-hmm. What if one of those guys gets in and looks like Jamal Lewis?
JK.
But what if it happened? He just says some things that are, you know, kind of weird ways sometimes. It's not a good or a bad thing. Just, he was asked about Cooper Mace. Give you that update next.
Yeah, stick comment and see if we got any more good stuff in
right
there.
Right here on 3 and Out.
Yep.
Our number to join the program on the G3 Help Me Hotline is 865-546-8200. All phone calls are brought to you by the team over at the law offices of G. Turner Howard III. They've got you covered if you or a loved one has been injured in an accident. Hit them up online at g3helpme.com or give them a call at 865-401-8214. That's 865-401-8214 to get help now. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out and Fan Run Radio. 865-401-8214 or visit g3helpme.com. Again, that's g3helpme.com. Proud sponsors of the G3 Help Me Hotlines here at Fan Run Radio. Up first, we've got Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Well, I love you guys. I really do.
Yeah, but you love Nate more.
I do love Nate a little bit more. Nate's taking the. Matter of fact, Houston, you probably dropped down to fourth place at this point. Hickman's moved up into second, and Davies dropped down to third from the loss of the bet. So you got some work to do, big guy.
I wish we had more callers like you, Matt.
I love how I lose my bet so far, and I'm in last place. The guy who wins his bet dropped the spot.
Houston's buying you dinner, Matt, at this point.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I mean, he is. I should probably maybe bump him up a spot.
Yeah, someone said, why are you guys so nice to Matt? It's like, because he always offers free bets that I know I'm going to end up getting paid for.
Ooh. Did I just jump, Davey? Did he just move to fourth?
Yeah, Davey, you just dropped on that one. Don't get cocky with me, son.
Matt's power rankings are a finicky beast.
Power trip.
They're just like my fandom. They're bipolar, guys. I'm all over the place.
You to 4-8 now?
Yeah, boy, that's pretty negative, man. That's why I hate listening to Jamie's calls, man. Jamie sways me on my opinion. I'll be happy about something, then Jamie calls in. I'm like, damn it, man, we suck at the program. I hate the balls. Look, man, I was talking last night with my wife. We were kind of just joking around about Tennessee, and she was talking about the show and just, like, asking me these random, like, why I call in all the time and all that stuff. I told her it's therapy. But we were talking about, like, what comparing Tennessee to something. And, guys, I found the perfect bug that the Tennessee program and Tennessee fans are compared to going back over the last two decades. And it kind of flows to my childhood as being raised on a farm and, you know, how you, as a kid you used to – you guys ever blow up cow patties with firecrackers and stuff like that?
No, but I blew things up with firecrackers. I also grew up on a farm, Matt. But it was a horse farm.
Okay, so you know what a dung beetle is, right?
Yes.
All right. And there's three different types of dung beetles. And you guys, Davey, I don't know if you know what a dung beetle is, but dung beetles actually just roll feces around. They roll them up into balls. And you've got three different types of dung beetles in a pack. You got a tunneler who tunnels where the dung is going to be rolled to. You got the rollers who actually roll the dung around. And then you got, like, the female nesters who actually, you know, lay the eggs. But they all of the dung beetles eat dung. They just eat poo, man. That's all they do. I'm trying to figure out where I come into this as a Tennessee fan. Like, am I a roller?
Me too.
Because I'm part of that. But as a program, we're obviously just rolling poop around. That's all we've been doing for
I think the program itself, the administration to this point, has been the roller. They're just out there shoveling it, and then we're the ones
from one spot to another.
Yeah, they're doing the work, like the Showtime work that everyone can see. Like, yeah, look at us pushing this junk back and forth, pushing it on. We're the ones stuck in the tunnel doing the real work, digging the hole to hide it.
Yeah, I think fans are. And then you got whoever the nesters are. I don't know what that's probably.
That's the all for lifers. They're laying the eggs for the next generation.
That's exactly. Yeah.
No, that's anybody that who really exactly doesn't care right. And is just getting rich off the process. Just sitting back, really not doing that much.
That's Phil Fulmer.
Yeah, that's a big exactly old what
that is. I'm not calling names here.
Hey, guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm not out on this coach. I'm not going to call for his head like Jamie does. But there's alarm. Look. As a fan of this program, all I ask for is a coach to come in here and just exceed expectations once. Because for us to get back, to climb back, we've got to beat a team we're not supposed to beat. That's it. And he had an opportunity. We had to have that win. Saturday was a must-win game for me for this season. Because we're definitely not going to beat Florida. We're not going to beat Georgia. We're not going to beat Alabama. So your only other game that you should have, what I would consider a defining win for this coaching staff was the Pitt game. And just like every other coaching staff that came through here, they failed to do it. So it just raises a lot of red flags for the future. I mean, will he do it next year? I would say the odds are probably not. And then it seems like to me, if he does do it at some point, he's going to drop a game he shouldn't win. And we're still back in the same boat, a la Gump. You know, he'll win the – or he'll lose the first five games and win out, and you'll get some false sense of hope, and they'll just crash it back into – they'll just roll that dung to another spot. You know what I'm saying? Not trying to be negative.
I'm just going to ask a question real quick, Matt. And I'm not projecting anything on Josh Heupel. This is just an example. Do we think Alabama fans thought there were red flags with Nick Saban when he lost to Louisiana Monroe in his first year?
I wouldn't think there were, because they got the highest caliber coach they could have wanted. They wanted Saban and they got him, and that program was in disarray when he got there.
What are we?
I mean, it wasn't as bad as well. We're in disarray. We're worse than Alabama was when they got there. But Saban turned it around. look, Saban's just a great coach. But
well, I know that, but at the time, I don't know if Heupel's going to be awesome or terrible or somewhere in between. I have no idea.
I'm sure there was frustration, right. Obviously. But you go back to
you hire Nick Saban, the top choice, and he went 6-6.
Yeah, and then what did he do the next year?
Well, we're not there yet on Heupel, is all I'm saying. And I don't think we're going to win a national championship next year. I'm just saying we don't know. But what Nick Saban did in his first year, now he lost to Louisiana Monroe. He also stomped Tennessee when they went down there.
Oh, do you realize he beat number 16 Arkansas before he lost to Louisiana Monroe?
See, I don't even remember.
Wouldn't that make you feel worse at the time? That'd be like,
I don't know. That would show me that you can beat a top 16 team, and then you beat Tennessee, which was probably ranked at the time. Is that the year he did the onside kick with us to start the game or the second half or something?
But yeah, I don't disagree, but we always say we kind of want to see this progression like a stair step. If you beat number 16 Arkansas and then lose to Louisiana Monroe, it's like, what the hell are we doing?
That's what I hate, Houston, is the stair step stuff. I know that's the patient thing, and I'm just not a patient fan, I guess. I've seen so many coaches come in, and by year two, you know if they're going to work out or not. You can look at Stoops at Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma, I know Stoops is a great coach, obviously, but he came into just a crap wreck in Oklahoma, and they turned that thing around in year two.
Mm-hmm.
Saban did it. And you can just go down the list of coaches that have, it looks like Ole Miss has got their guy.
No, and I don't disagree. I'm just saying let's not judge Heupel in year one because of what other coaches did in year two. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I'm not judging him, and I'm not. That's where I'm trying not to go off the deep end like Jamie does, which is hard not to do because you see the flat. There are red flags, numerous red flags after two games. You know, this team did not look prepared for game one. In game two we should have beat that team. We are a better team. We've got better talent. You can see it on the field. It's there. And the coaches, in my opinion, lost us that game. Now you're going into game three and four without – we don't even know who – they've locked this thing down tighter than a snare drum, which is absolutely ridiculous. There's no need to do that. And you don't know who the coach quarterback's going to be. And I've not seen, from a quarterback guru, the greatest quarterback play. So where's all that? It's just a lot of stuff, you know. I mean, and that could turn around. I'll change my tune after week four if we beat Florida, obviously. I'll be singing a dance in the streets about how great this coach is, but you know, yet to be seen.
Before we hired Heupel, did you want Kiffin? Would you have been happy with that?
Oh, dude, yeah, I would take Kiffin now. Yes, Kiffin should be at Tennessee, I don't know if I'll ever forgive this program for not rehiring that guy.
Do you wish he had stayed after 2009?
Yeah, I wish he would have, but I don't blame Kiffin for leaving. I blame the administration for giving him a $1 million buyout and allowing him to go to USC. Kiffin said that was going to happen. You're the only one school that would come calling. I just think that our administration set some dumbass buyout to let him get out of here, and he did. But the reason why I wanted Kiffin was not why he left. It's why he wanted to come back. Kiffin wanted that reunion with Tennessee and Tennessee fans. He wanted to douse that flame and wrong the right the wrong that he created.
I don't disagree. Real quick, I was trying to set up a point. Were you disappointed when we lost to UCLA at home and Crompton looked like junk?
Yeah.
Red flags, right?
Yeah, but I mean,
it took the great offensive mind of Lane Kiffin 4 or 5 games to figure out Jonathan Crompton. Then we beat Georgia. Mm-hmm. Granted, that Georgia team wasn't what this Georgia team is. I'm just saying. New team, getting to know new players. That Crompton went through spring, it still took him 5 games. Joe Milton's been here since like June. So I don't disagree that there are red flags. I'm just not ready to say, well, yeah, but 4-8 is probably the best we can do. I have no idea, but I've seen, in my opinion, I've seen good coaches. I think Lane Kiffin is a good coach. I think maybe he got this job a little too early. I still think he's successful here if he stays. But I've seen good coaches take a little bit of time to kind of figure things out.
Davey, since Houston's arguing with me and does not agree, you have now jumped to third place again.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm not.
See, man.
I was just stating facts. Like even good coaches, it takes a little bit of time. You got to figure some things out. You got to get to know your players. You got to get to know. They got to get to know the scheme. And I'm not going to say coaching lost you the game. Could it have won you the game? Yeah, if you had a quarterback who can throw a deep ball, you win the game. That's not on coaching. The guys are running wide open. The coaching is the fact that they're running wide open. the play calls, the design, the talent, who you've decided to start at certain positions. Those guys running wide open, that's coaching. A guy missing a wide open throw, I mean, Heupel can't throw it for him. But that said, if I mean,
the judgment you guys are trying to pass is just impossible.
It's just too early. Yeah, it's just too early. That's my point. I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Lane Kiffin or Nick. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we just don't know.
Yeah, and I will say if there is one thing to point at from a coaching standpoint, I did think offensively the scheme was at a level you should have won that game. Obviously, it kind of came down to
execution. Yeah, the scheme was great, yeah.
The biggest issue I had on the coaching part was as it related to the discipline of your players.
Yes, Davey, the penalties, we know.
I wasn't going to bring up penalties. I was just going to say discipline.
What other forms of discipline were you talking about?
Well, we've heard that the defense didn't line up right, didn't run, you know, and that hurt them. I mean,
if the defense didn't line up right, that's coaching. Either the signal was messed up or you didn't teach it well enough. Like that I would put on coaching.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody was kind of focused on quarterback and offense and, I don't know, T-Fair and then they did a good job kind of breaking down some of those issues.
I guess my question with the – and I'm not trying to argue with you, Dave. I mean, the penalties were a big problem. I just – you know the coaches tell guys like Cade Mays, hey, don't hit people after the whistle, right? Again, the bank slam.
We know they tell them that, but like,
what are the repercussions?
Hang on. Just stop for a second. When you play for Nick Saban, there's a level of and I'm only using him because he's the ultimate example. Sure. I don't expect Heupel to be that good in this department. No one is. Mm-hmm. No one is as good as Nick Saban in this department. Even the people that have beat him, even Dabo Swinney, is not as good as Nick Saban in this department. She's using him as the example because he is the mountaintop, especially in this. When you play for Nick Saban, there's a level of accountability where you just don't do that. You just don't make those mistakes.
I don't think it's accountability, man. I think it's fear.
Whatever. No. I mean, you still have to get the results. And he gets the results.
I agree.
They asked Greg McElroy, what was the difference when Nick Saban came in? He says, everything.
I agree.
There's.
But we've heard that about this team too. They say, "Oh, everything's different. It's different from what Nick Saban's different would be, but it is different." My question is, Heupel doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to get over there. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt did that. That wasn't the most disciplined team we've ever seen. Like, it's real easy to sit over there and mother bleep a guy the whole time. But right. Nick Saban's different because he's had the level of success. If you're Josh Heupel, and I think what I'm picking up from his comments this week is Heupel is trying to convey to his team, look, I'm not going to sit here and yell at you. That's not what you have to be worried about. What you should be worried about is those stupid mistakes cost your team a chance to win. You should be better for yourself, for your teammates, for this university.
You're going
to be
a loser if you can't.
Exactly. And I like that approach. It's different, but I just don't think Heupel's, few are Nick Saban, right? Like, few are that intimidating, have to get fixed.
But I could see this coming with Josh Heupel. Like, that's all we've heard about kind of the way he is. He's like a super nice guy. His whole big thing with rebuilding Tennessee before the game started was making sure that the guys are having fun and that they're and maybe he had to do that. But
I think
that
he did.
Also makes it hard to get those results right out of the gate where the guys don't make mistakes because they've kind of been. It's tough.
I'm having fun. I can do what I want. Yeah, this coach isn't going to get mad at me.
It's a delicate balance.
But when I think you create that team unity now, instead of, you know, Heupel can say, hey, man, that was really stupid. Don't do that again. But now you've got teammates looking at you like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, you're hurting us.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that the team building gets the team more invested in the team. So then you have internal leadership instead of everyone walking around on eggshells because they don't want to make Nick Saban mad.
Right.
And I think both can be equally effective. One, I do agree, does take longer. But I also don't know that you could go the other way if you're, you know, if you're not an established winning coach. Pruitt tried to do that, Nate. Pruitt came in here and said, I'm going to be Nick Saban Jr. I'm going to kick whiteboards. I'm going to scream at people. It didn't work. Because that's not who he was. He just thought it would work because Nick Saban did it. But Pruitt hadn't won junk. So I agree. And again, we don't know. We don't know if it's going to get fixed. I just think I'm starting to see the approach from Heupel, but it does need to get better. We also need to ban all ACC crews from Neyland Stadium moving forward.
Come back. Final segment. Hour one next. All right.
You're
Final segment, hour number one. Oh, good times. Now, I don't. You can't pass judgment on a coach two games in. I don't really care what's happened. You just can't. Everybody wants to. Everyone wants to know the future, but you just can't. The crappy part is most coaches fail to meet the super high expectations of the, like, you know, we're going to win championships. Like, most coaches fail to meet that. And then Tennessee has had a couple of coaches the last coach was just completely, I mean, he failed to even be an average football coach. The most likely scenario is that Josh Heupel's a pretty just average football coach. And then you see if he, you know.
I mean, he's been above average offensively. We'll see as a head coach.
That's the most likely just answer for any coach coming into any program, is that they're going to be somewhere just kind of average. You got Nick Saban, who is like the greatest ever on one end. And he got, at least from our experience, Jeremy Pruitt, who's our worst coach ever, that just bottomed out your program. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. There's, you know, it's like people made that argument that, you know, Dabo Swinney turned around, and that's a reason we should have given Jeremy Pruitt more time. That's just kind of stupid. I mean, like,
maybe you could make that argument for Butch. You can't make it for Pruitt. You just can't, dude. That. We just went backwards. Like, no way. There's just no way. Sorry.
You're going to play enough games, I think, in year one where, you know, what I mean by that is you're going to play enough games where the teams are close enough to you to be able to pass some judgment, but it's really hard after one game. I mean, imagine if, I don't know, there's just so many different factors going in. If Joe Milton hits a couple of those, if Joe Milton looks a little better against Bowling Green, let's say he just hits a couple of deep balls, and then let's say he hits one or two early in the Tennessee game, and you're actually up.
The Bowling Green game?
Sorry, I said in the, let's say he hits a few in the Bowling Green game, so people aren't complaining as much about that.
Right.
Then he hits a couple in the Pittsburgh game, and you're actually up, like, let's say you're up one extra touchdown. And one of the other ones he hits was the one you would have scored anyway or something. I don't know. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But then he gets knocked out for injury, and you still lose the game by a touchdown because Pitt, you know, goes faster, whatever, finds a way to get one more, you know. Say the score, each team has seven more points or some scenario like that. Then you've got the same outcomes, but everybody's saying, God, man, if our quarterback doesn't get hurt, your starting quarterback got knocked out of the game on Saturday. Now, a lot of people said you would have been making a change anyway, and maybe they would have. There's just no way to know that. It's just too early to pass judgment on a coach. Now, you can pick out red flags on any coach. I mean, you can go back to, I'm sure you could watch Alabama in game two of the Nick Saban era on September the 8th, 2007 at Vanderbilt, where they won 24-10, and probably go, man, I can't believe they made this mistake or that mistake. Or, I mean, this is Vanderbilt. Come on. I'm sure you could do that. And like you said, I'm sure Alabama fans are like, man, he got some decent wins, and we're losing all our other games close. But, man, we just lost to UL Monroe. I don't know. This coach might, you know, Nick Saban might be overrated. I'm sure there was at least one Alabama fan that said Nick Saban was overrated after they lost to UL Monroe. Guaranteed. And there was probably another fan saying, but look how close he was against number three LSU. And I mean, we beat Arkansas and we beat Tennessee.
And I also, in fairness, I wonder about that Monroe game. Like, Saban's weird on games when there's a quote-unquote when his team is heavily favored. I wonder if it started before that, or if all these rants in the last, you know, 15 years have been because of that game, where the last thing we want to do ever again is underestimate an opponent because, you know, the line is huge and they're not Power 5 or whatever. Did he go into that game like he did the Chattanooga game a couple years ago, or a Citadel game a couple years ago, saying, you know what, we're going to call the plays, but we're not going to go out there and do whatever you want, guys. See how it goes. But we know he has a propensity to look at those games a little bit different. I would wonder if it started before or after Louisiana Monroe.
He did also already have a natty at the time.
I don't disagree.
Probably made some of the criticism.
I don't disagree, but did he lose to Louisiana Monroe or a team like that while he was at LSU or Michigan State for that matter? Or did he have a game that was close? I'm just saying, I just wonder, you know, where that came from. But no, to Nate's point, I totally agree. There were fans on both sides after that game. Probably the same people praising him after they blast Arkansas. Same ones ready to fire him after they lose to Louisiana Monroe.
We'll come back with more. Kickoff hour two next.